new covenant. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Now, who is God making this covenant with? The house of Israel and the house of Judah. In other words, God does not have a religion for Gentiles. The only religion by which you are saved is the religion that came down through Abraham and his descendants. Jesus told the woman, "You do not know what you believe. We Jews, we know what we believe, for salvation is of the Jews." Now, so that Christianity is not a Gentile religion. Christianity is a Jewish religion, which the Jews themselves rejected, but God gave it to the Gentiles. Amen.
Amen.
Now, not according, God says, to the covenant that I make with your fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke, although I was a husband unto them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their inward part and write my law in their hearts. It's the same old Ten Commandment law which they never lived up to. But God says, under the new covenant that was ratified by the blood of Christ on the cross of Calvary, God says, I'm going to write those laws on your hearts and on your minds. The only part of the Bible written by God Himself was the Ten Commandments. The only part. And He gave to Moses, when He had made an end of communing with Him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimonies, tables of stone, written with what? The finger of God. Listen to this. The Ten Commandments were so important to God that God did not trust Moses to give it to the world. But what did He do? God, and when we say God, we're talking about Jesus now, came down on Mount Sinai in person to deliver them Himself. God Himself spoke the Ten Commandments. God Himself wrote them on stone with His own finger. Now listen to this, I don't want you to forget. God called the two tables the testimony. God had Moses place the testimony, the Ten Commandments, inside the ark. Now don't forget, the ceremonial ark is just laid to the side of the ark. But the Ten Commandments was inside the ark. And those Ten Commandments was called the testimony. The ark, which housed the Ten Commandments, was called the ark of the testimony, or the ark of the Ten Commandments. The tent, that sanctuary, with its two compartments and everything, the tent was called the tabernacle of the testimony. Amen. The tabernacle of the Ten Commandments. And you see the text there. There's the ark. And inside the ark were the Ten Commandments, called the Ark of the Covenant as well. Let's go on. We'll come back to that. Now, Brother Pat quoted this text, "Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are, that are justified by the law. You have fallen from grace." Now, beloved, grace has been around since the Garden of Eden. I don't know any child of God in the Old Testament that were under the law. I don't know any child of God in the Old Testament that who did not live in harmony with the law, yet had absolute faith in God. They did. Now listen to this one. What Peter says about Paul, right? Because I want you to know this. This is what Peter said about Paul's writings, as also in all his epistles. He's speaking about Paul, speaking in them of things, of these things, in which are some things hard to do what? To be understood. Which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest or twist from their true meaning. And they do also the other scripture unto their own destruction. Anytime you can go to the New Testament to see that the Sabbath has been done away with by singling out certain little texts that you think supports that, you are misusing Paul's writing. Paul in no place gives us any reason to believe that the seventh-day Sabbath has been done away with. He himself kept it from his youth. And I'm rushing because I got a lot of things to say. Jesus and the woman at the well. I'm going to just say it one more time. Jesus said, you don't know what you worship. We know what we worship. Salvation is of the Jews. Jewish religion. Jesus said, do what? Search the scriptures. And when he said scriptures, he was not talking about the writings of Paul or Peter or John. He's talking about Genesis to Malachi. Do we all agree to that? I hope so. The New Testament is not yet written. Jesus is saying, go to the Old Testament, and you will find that they testify of me. Everything that you need to know about the Messiah, about the plan of salvation, is embedded in the Old Testament. Remember this one point as you study the Bible. The New Testament can never correct the Old Testament. The Old Testament is where God spoke. If the New Testament can correct the Old Testament, that makes God a liar. Don't do that. Alright. What I'm saying is this. Jesus is the one who spoke in the wilderness. Paul says that Christ was the rock that followed them. Meaning that Jesus is the God that traveled with them those 40 years. Jesus even said himself, Moses didn't give you circumcision. He said the Father gave you circumcision out of Jesus on the mount. But you would discover that whenever the people of Israel did wrong, God says, Moses, your people. When they were doing good, my people. All right, let's go on. The promise to Abraham, I will make of thee a great nation. I'll bless you, make your name great. You'll be a blessing. I'll bless them that bless you, curse them that curse you. But listen at this last line. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Listen at this one. Abraham is the model man. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for what? Righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, and we are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. God sets Abraham up as the model man of faith. And which lets us know that if you want to go to heaven, you've got to model your life after Abraham. In other words, he believed God. And it was counted to him for righteousness. That is righteousness by faith. Don't we go to heaven on righteousness by faith? Not through our own righteousness, but by faith in Jesus. All right. Now, at the same time that Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness, we already saw that God said that Abraham kept my statutes, my judgment, my charge, my commandments, and my laws. You can't get to heaven unless you are a child of Abraham. And Abraham kept God's commandments. And you say that we don't have to keep them. Brother Pat, go back and research this again. All right. What advantage does a Jew have over a Gentile? What advantage, says Paul in Romans 3, has the Jew of what profit is there of circumcision? Much in every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. That is, God committed to the Jews the writing of the Bible. And they were to share that with the whole world. But God had to reach out himself another way to the Gentiles, because the Jews got so savage, so bigoted, that they would not share the gospel with those outside. Who are the true Jews according to Galatians 3:29? And it should be Christ. Then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to what? The promise. Who are the true Jews? Romans 2:28-9. Okay, for he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart and the spirit, in the spirit, and not in the letter. Now, even in the Old Testament, God told his people that you need to circumcise your heart. Okay, you've been circumcised in the flesh, but it's your heart that needs to be circumcised. Before God gave Abraham the rites of circumcision, Abraham's heart was already circumcised. Amen. Joseph, you know his heart was already circumcised. He had a relationship with God. Righteousness by faith. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These were the men who had a relationship with God. Righteousness by faith. Daniel told God in his great prayer, he says, righteousness belongs to thee, O Lord. All right, now there's the other. The Ten Commandments are inside. Then on the top, you see where it says golden mercy seat? There was a flat golden plate called the mercy seat. Now, we know that God is a God of justice, represented by the Ten Commandments inside that ark. We know that he's a God of mercy because the mercy seat is seen on top of that law, tempering that law, and letting us know that God is a God of justice, but also he's a God of mercy. Praise the Lord. All right, now, God called the two tables the testimony. God had Moses place the testimony inside the ark. The ark was called the ark of the testimony. The tent that housed everything was called the tabernacle of the testimony. This is what I want you to see. We come down to Revelation chapter 11, verse 19. Now, John is writing in Revelation, and he's talking about down here in the end of time, just before Jesus comes. What does John see in heaven? He says, in fact, it talks about just in the verse above, it talks about God coming to destroy those who destroy the earth, like what we're doing today. And then John says, and the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of what? His testament. No, that ark with the Ten Commandments. There's a copy in the courts of heaven. And there were voices and lightning and thundering. Revelation 15:5. John says again, looking down at the time when the seven last plagues are going to be poured out. He says, and after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony, the Ten Commandments, in heaven was open. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. That is the church in the last days before Jesus comes. That's the remnant of the woman's seed. And what does John how does John characterize the church just before Jesus comes? Which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Revelation 14:12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. Blessed are they which do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Jesus said that a lot of folks will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. He says, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gate into the city. Now, Brother Pat, you mentioned a few things. You mentioned that that homosexuality, sex with animals, fornication, were part of the ceremony law. Now, that's not true. Sex with animals come under thou shalt not commit adultery. Bestiality and homosexuality comes under the moral law. In other words, adultery is just not a man sleeping with a woman who's not his wife. Adultery comes in many forms. And homosexuality is a violation of the natural act between the man and the woman. And thou shalt not commit adultery, God is enjoining upon us that the only legitimate relationship is between a man and a woman in marriage. Anything outside of that is adultery. All right. Now you said that if we're going to change the priesthood, we've got to change the law. And we have seen that the law has changed. In the, under the new covenant, whereas the law was written on tables of stone, now they're written on our hearts through Jesus Christ. Now, all churches, I shouldn't say all churches, but most major denominations would disagree with you, Pat. Because most major denominations, the Baptists, the Southern Baptists, the Methodists, the Presbyterians, the Lutherans, have all stated officially that there is no basis for Sunday keeping in the New Testament. And that the seventh-day Sabbath was never abrogated. All major denominations have made that confession. Although, in more recent times, because of, I don't want to say the wrong thing here, but a lot of ministers today are trying to go back and find a basis for Sunday keeping in the New Testament, which most churches have already acknowledged that is not there. How many minutes?
Approximately four.
4 minutes. Now, we all need to go back and study our history. And if we go back and study our history, we will learn from history that there was a prophesied attempt in the book of Daniel that there would come a power to change God's law. And we know that power in Daniel chapter 7, the literal one, is nothing more than the papacy. We come to the writings of Paul, and Paul says that previous wars will come into the church. And Paul speaks about the man of sin who sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's the papacy. That's the same little horn that Daniel talked about. John the Revelator talked about the little horn and the man of sin, but he calls it the beast and the great whore. All pointing to the papacy. You study your history. That papal power, that little horn power, was a persecuting power against the people of God. The early Christians prayed for Rome to continue, because they knew that after the fall of Rome, there will come another power, far more persecuted against the church than even pagan Rome. 3 million Christians, it is estimated, lost their lives under pagan Rome. But under papal Rome, the Catholic Church, 60 million. The Catholic Church says that when you step in that church on Sunday morning, you are not paying honor to God. You are paying honor to the Pope, because the Pope is the one who changed the day. That's what the Catholics would say. We need to study our history, beloved. And remember this. Every century since the time of Christ, there have been Christians who kept Sabbath. There has never been a century from the time of Christ up to the present where God did not have Sabbath people. But if you study your history, the Catholic Church sought to stamp them out with persecution, to kill them. But it never did. The Waldenses, many of them, Sabbath keepers. Study your history. The devil is on the warpath, and he has brought a counterfeit Sabbath with Sunday. Please, sir. Brother, my time over? Got a minute?
About a minute.
About a minute. So we really need to allow the Lord to make corrections where corrections should be made. Why hold on to a day? You know where the Sabbath came from. But as for Sunday, pick up any reliable history book, and it will tell you how the transition from Sabbath to Sunday came about. There were at least five factors. One was the Passover. That some Christians still wanted to keep the Passover, and eventually they transferred over to Sunday. Then there was persecution against the Jews. And so the Christians, because they kept Sabbath, would be identified as Jews. And so they didn't want to be identified as Jews. So they said, we need to do things different. And so gradually, over a period of several hundred years, the shift was made from Sabbath to Sunday. It was a gradual thing that took place, not in the days of the apostles, but after the apostles. Study your history. It's all there. And may God bless you and keep you and cause you to study. Amen.